Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 and over there. We'll read it together. Okay, as a start to this whole lesson on the delegation. Okay, ready? Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19. Ready? 1, 2, go. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? But some questions, who did Jesus speak this to? Who did Jesus speak this to? Who did Jesus speak this to? Sorry? I know which one. James and John, I believe. James and John, okay? In Matthew chapter 4, it could be Peter, James, and John, okay? They were the first fishers. And Jesus saw them and said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, okay? And I want to highlight the fact of the need to follow Christ. And with that, which we have been learning over the last few weeks, being associated with Christ, being consecrated to Him, and then receiving from Him His spirit of service. And remember, humanly speaking, we will never want to serve Christ. Okay, yesterday in the parent meeting, we had a wonderful time. One of the sisters was saying, you know, sometimes it's so unnatural to do the right thing. Isn't it true? It's so unnatural to do the right thing. We know we're supposed to speak kindly, but we shout. We know we're supposed to forgive, but we say other things. It's so unnatural to do the right thing. But yet Jesus says to follow Him. For Him, it's very natural to do the right thing because He's God. But at the same time, remember He's 100% flesh. Okay? And that's an important thing for us to understand. The Lord Jesus Christ became flesh so that He can experience all the things we go through in the flesh. So that He can teach us what it means to follow God, to do the right thing, even though He was bound by the flesh. Not bound, but at least limited by the flesh. Okay? And so Jesus teaches us to follow Him. So when we're associated with Him, we are consecrated to Him, we are receiving His spirit of service, and then we read from the Bible, watching Him in His service, how He served, how He loved, how He did things, Christ will then make us to become fishers of men. After we have actually followed Him, after we have learned from Him, after we have been taught by Him, God begins to then tell us, okay, fine, now it's crunch time, it's work time. And one of the biggest things about the Christian is, I'm thankful for many of us who have this idea that I cannot just sit down there and do nothing. I need to serve. And it's a very important principle of the Christian life. I need to do something. And I hope the young people, as they grow up, will also have the same thing. Wherever God may take you, remember, you don't just join a church to sit down. God puts you there to serve Him. Pastor. Behind. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. So, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave them what we call work assignments. Okay. In this section, we'll be learning how the Lord trained His disciples when it came to working, and also how we need to do as we disciple other people. But you know what? We need to listen to what Jesus did. We need to be clear what we need to do first before we take on someone else. And that's important, all right, as we imitate the Lord. All right, there were work assignments given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's turn to the book of... Before that, okay, I'll just give you a few points. There were work assignments that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples, and He was observed to have the following principles in His life for His disciples. These were some things which Jesus had when He gave work to the disciples. Okay, so if we are actually discipleless, whether of our own children, or whether of other people who will be growing in the faith, we need to consider this. Okay, firstly, we need to know the end goal. We need to know the end goal. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the end goal was that the disciples would take over His entire ministry. Okay, the end goal was Jesus was going to give them a great commission, and so everything Jesus did initially, He had the end goal in mind. Okay, number one. Number two, Jesus considered the time taken for the disciples to learn and therefore is patient towards them. Is patient towards them. It's very easy, especially in the army, I don't know whether our team is experiencing that. We cannot do something, or the instructor will scold you like crazy or whatever. That is not God's way. Okay? Jesus knew the human weakness. Jesus knew the human failings. And so, Jesus knew because everyone takes time to learn. Okay? And therefore, we need to be patient towards them. Okay? And that's important. The third one, he was never premature on the insistence for action. In other words, Jesus didn't force people to serve. And that's the principle we take an ambassador. We don't force you to serve. You won't even ask sometimes, unless it's really urgent. But you know what? It's something that personally we, if God moves in your heart, we need to volunteer. And I hope that we have a culture and ambassador. Sorry? Okay, he was never premature on the insistence for action. In other words, he doesn't prematurely, when a person is young in the faith, you push them out to do so winning and all that. He will take time to help them to grow and things like that before he actually get them to work. And this is the, I believe this very much to be God's principle even for our church. But you know what is important to volunteer? If the Lord is moving your heart, it's important to actually take a step of faith. Say, I'll do that. And then you will find there are 1,000 things that you can do. But Jesus was never insistent. I know in some churches they pull on, they'll say, you need to do this, you need to do this, do this. It's important to obey God. Baptism, for example, is a very clear teaching. But you know what? Even for baptism, I will not ask people. Unless on a one-to-one, after a few weeks of follow-up, understanding it, and say, will you be willing to do that? There's always the preparation part. Okay? The next point, Jesus' method was to get the disciples into an experience with God. I'm not talking about a charismatic experience, but into a personal relationship that they realize that God is not just a spirit, but God is someone who is very personal. That when you're in trouble, you can pray. That when you fall down and you stumble, you can actually say, Lord, help me. And when you're discouraged by certain things, you can actually turn to Christ. And Jesus' method was to make sure that these people actually had a vital relationship with God and to show them how he himself worked. This is an important principle. Jesus will show them how he himself worked before telling them that they had to do it. Okay? Does that make sense? In other words, show the demonstration as we taught last week. But at the same time, Jesus did not discourage any spontaneous reaction for service. Okay? In other words, if a person gets saved straight away and do something, Jesus never stopped that as well. For example, Andrew. Andrew, the moment he got saved, he went to find his brother. That's evangelism already. Alright? And then Philip, when he realized, hey, I found the Messiah, straight away he went to find Nathaniel. That's why I'm teaching the Chinese in John chapter 1 as we go through how we need to do that. Matthew had a dinner for his friends after Jesus called him. Why? Because he wanted everyone to know Jesus. Okay? So he didn't insist upon it. But at the same time, when people want to do it, he didn't stop them. Okay? Now, the other things were the disciples were given other tasks of helping with the ministry. Example, some of the disciples were given the work of preparing for the Lord's Supper. Okay, they were supposed to go in to do some things. And there were other small tasks that Jesus actually gave them to do. Alright? And you know what? Small tasks are important because small tasks demonstrates our willingness to be faithful to the little things God asks us to do. I'm very thankful, you know, for one of the things. Every Sunday we would have a clean environment for us to worship in, because every Saturday different groups will come in and ensure that things are working. Even though we may not know who does it, really, but God does. You know, at the end, everyone is blessed by it. Amen. Can you imagine you come here, the hair here, and then ends and all that. things not working and all that. But you know, thank God for the people who invest time to serve God. And just even in the little things. So, we should be more patient towards new converts with regards to serving in the ministry. Okay, there are some people who are gung-ho, they want to go through, but usually, for example, if you want to serve in certain ministry from now on, you need to go through some training, you need to know basic principles before you even be mentored by someone, supervised by someone, so that you can grow in your work for Christ. Okay, any questions? Let's turn to a few verses, okay? We want to look at one thing in order to see this principle in action. A very important understanding of the scriptures. A very important understanding of the scriptures is this. When Jesus called the disciples, he didn't ask them to go on any tracking, anything, until 2 years later. All they had to do was to follow him. Everywhere he went, what he did, where he slept, what he ate, who he talked to, they were all there listening to his conversation, how he dealt with them. Then 2 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ then began to send them out. Let's turn to a few verses. We have Jairus, you turn to Mark 6, 7 first. Right, Edward, you turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Sister Jamie, you can look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Okay, let's read it loud and clear. This was the disciples' first evangelistic outreach. Okay, can you read that? Mark 6, 7. Wanted him, the 12, and begin to send them out forth 2 by 2. Matthew 10, verse 5. Okay, Jesus sent them forth to the...
Right.
Actually, there's a verse 6 as well. Can you read verse 6 as well? Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ gave specific instructions even as they went out. Okay, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Okay, just to illustrate from Luke chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus called his disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all devils. You realize if you apply that to the Christian church today, we have power and authority. Because Jesus said, all power is given unto me, go ye therefore. That's the relevance of why in the Baptist circles we preach on authority. Because without authority, we can do nothing. Because otherwise, it's you versus me. I was reading, I'm a recipient of some email with regards to church leaders. And unfortunately, how many of you know Mark Driscoll? Which is a pastor of Mars Hill, okay? And... there's this caption on his sermon, why Mark Driscoll is angry over different preachers. And then there are some comments the comments about why are we concerned why Mark Driscoll is angry over other preachers? We should be more concerned about God being angry with preachers. You know, the idea of man-centeredness. Authority is not on man. Authority is not invested in the pastor. Authority is invested in Christ and His Word. Okay, of course, then God gave that authority, delegated authority, to the church, alright? So we have, so when we go tracting and outreach, we have authority, okay? Number one. Number two, if you look at the verse as well, over the, and to cure diseases, the idea, we certainly today, unless you have the gift of healing, alright, God specifically gives it to you, but that doesn't happen today because the gift of healing has been done away with in terms of the miraculous gifts. That's not to say that God cannot heal miraculously with prayer. But what I'm saying, curing diseases has the idea of doing good. Doing good. And that's our mind frame, that sometimes when we actually go out and we find that a person may be in trouble and all that, you know, it's not just sharing the gospel, but sometimes it's some good we can do, we should do that too. Okay? And you send them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gave certain instructions. And today we want to look at what instructions as Jesus gives us work to do. Okay, some of us are Christians for many years, and I believe this is very pertinent. Now, an ambassador, one of the heartbeat I hope would be that we will not receive, we will go and do what God wants us to do. I hope this phrase will always be in our mind. The work of the church is in the streets of the world. The work of the church is not here. The work of the church is to equip so that we can reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our entire ministry ought to be centered around what Jesus life is the early church and how they were constantly looking for people to help, to heal, and then to lead to Christ as well. This should be our heartbeat. But there are some principles or some instructions that Jesus gave, and this is what we want to look at as we do. Just trying to see whether this is the correct one. Okay, what were some of the instructions as they went? Let me just It might be a bit different other things, but never mind. We'll just go through. I'll go through the points. If it's there, you put in. If it's not, then you have to just write it in, okay? Oh, okay. I think I know. It's our whole section. Okay, never mind. I'll give you Matthew chapter 10. Okay, there's a whole section that is missing, actually. I'll just go along and then try to follow along, okay? If it's there, I'll just highlight that to you. It's just that it's all over the place here. Okay, never mind. There are some instructions in Matthew chapter 10 Jesus gave to his disciples as they went up to teach, okay? Number one, he reaffirmed his purpose for their lives. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, okay, let's be there. We'll be parking there for a while. I think you all are there or not. Let me just get there. Matthew chapter 10. Okay, in verse 5 and 6, just now Brother Edward has read already, Jesus made it clear, don't go to the way of the Gentiles, into any of the city of the Samaritans, don't go, just go to the Jews. Okay, this is the initial instruction. The disciples were required to go to the Jews because Jesus was a Jewish Messiah. They were the first group of people they needed to reach. So in their first evangelistic expedition, Jesus sent them specifically to the Jews, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus reaffirmed his purpose for their life. Okay? There was nothing new in this evangelistic outreach. Jesus was just serving to clarify their task. Okay? He made it very clear to them, you are to go specifically to the house of the Jews. Okay? Of course, today for us as a church, no longer just to Jerusalem, but to Judea, to Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? And so there's nothing new. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, in this first point of reaffirming Christ's purpose for their life, Jesus said, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that tell you about this purpose? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that tell you about the purpose? The purpose is urgent. The purpose is urgent. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. Okay? He spells out the urgency of the task. And then in verse number 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. The scope was spelled out more completely. So when Jesus reaffirmed his purpose to their life, he gave them very specific things they need to do. Okay? Do we too have a purpose in life as Christians? What is the purpose of a life as a Christian? Anyone? Rather than me telling you, you decide, what's a life? What's the purpose of a Christian? What's the purpose of the life of a Christian? Anyone? To become more and more Christ-like. Okay, that's one very, very big, in fact, that's an all-encompassing purpose. Any other smaller purposes that we can see in our life? Maybe decide. Sorry, the Great Commission. Okay, Great Commission is certainly part and parcel of the life of a Christian. Okay, anyone else? Any other thing? The many, many purposes of a Christian. Jesus has already given us that in His Word. The question is, are those purposes in the Bible my life purpose as well? You know, perhaps today, hopefully, we will see again afresh that maybe God is reaffirming His purpose for our lives. Our life is not about ourselves. Agree? We don't live life for ourselves. We live life for Jesus Christ. If we will be more like Christ, more Christ-like, we will be faithful to His Word. If we are more Christ-like, we will be reaching out to people. If we are more Christ-like, we will be following the commandments of God. If we are more Christ-like, we will be faithful to the Lord's house. If we are more Christ-like, we will be giving as Jesus gave. If we are more Christ-like, this is what we need to move towards. And Jesus reaffirmed His purpose, but specifically to here, He reaffirmed His purpose in the life of His people, all right? To go and reach the people, okay? Number two, Jesus says, go to those that will be more promising ones to receive the gospel first, okay? Let me just look at Matthew chapter 10, and verse number 11, okay? I'll read there. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go hence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if ye be not worthy, let your peace return to you. in the whole evangelistic outreach of the disciples, or even in serving Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples to go first to those who are more inclined to listen, like friends or colleagues, to people who are more open. Hence our principle of personal invitation. So if you are in the business of saying, I want to win people to Christ, what Jesus tells you, well, go to those people that you know are more inclined to listen first. Okay? There's no repeat of this principle in the sending of the 70. This is the one and only place that Jesus Christ gave. And this is an important principle. After 2 years of following Jesus, Jesus gave them the first evangelistic outreach. Go and tell those people who will be more inclined to listen to you. Okay? But after that, in the book of Luke, when Jesus Christ sent them again, the sending of the 72, Jesus did not repeat that principle. Their job is to go to the regions beyond. In other words, they will go and serve Christ by telling not just the Jews, but the people. You know why? Because the Jews were beginning to reject Christ. And so Christ says, look, don't just go to them anymore. Go to the regions beyond. Okay? Then the next one in Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, nor the shoes, nor your staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Point number 3, as they do the work, they are to trust God to supply their needs. When we serve God, okay, when we serve God, we are to trust the Lord to supply our needs. You know, sometimes, this is the thing with Singaporeans. Right, I'll just expound this particular passage first. Jesus says, don't carry any unnecessary burdens. As they kept themselves focused and faithful on the Lord's work, God will see to it that their needs will be provided. As Dr. John R. Rice used to say, God, I'll take care of your business, you take care of mine. God, I take care of your business, you take care of mine. Of course, we need to be responsible for our part. But you know what? God has never failed in that. When we take care of God's business, doing it His way, at His time, God always takes care of our business. I think in Singapore, there's this tendency to be very overly concerned. And we're not saying that those who came on Friday who know that we talk about, why worry? Are you worried? And can you remember the 3 points? First point. God is the God of all comfort. Isaiah 51, verse 12 and 13. Number 2, where is your faith? Rather, what's your position as a Christian? Don't you remember your position as a Christian that I will take care of you, that you're a child of God? And point number 3 is God has a purpose for us. And that's why you don't have to worry. God has all power to help us. But in the Singaporean context, there's a high tendency of many Singaporean Christians to be worried about our sustenance. It's practical. But when we come to a point that we can't trust God about it, that we have to actively do a lot, that becomes a problem. That becomes a problem. Because why? What our faith has turned to fear. And we find that we have to take charge rather than allowing God to take charge. God oftentimes tells us, seek ye what? First, His kingdom. Seek ye first His kingdom and all His righteousness, what He says to do, and then all the things will be added unto you. Okay, as we serve Christ, and you know, as Jesus gave them this, it could be hard because you know what? Many of them, I mean, they were poor. They didn't have much. But Jesus says, you trust me. And that's what they did. Okay, and God, of course, took care of them. Point number 4, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 11 to 15, that's how I read it. They were to follow their method of concentration. In other words, those people whom they can work on, they put their energies on. Those people who are willing to listen to them, just like in tracting when we go, and people are willing to speak to us, we follow through. We spend a lot of time with these people. Okay? We are to do that. This was priority. Those who refuse the disciples will bring judgment upon themselves. You know, every time when we go tracting, for example, we will find that some people will reject us. You know what? I hope we all have this heart whereby you realize when they reject us, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting their eternal destiny. They're rejecting the fact that they have an opportunity to go to heaven, but they are rejecting them. Okay? Sometimes we will laugh at them and all that, but you know what Jesus says in verse 15? Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. It is more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Christians, we need to take note of that. We who know will be held more accountable. Agree? We who know what God says will be held accountable. This is a plain teaching of Scripture. You know, sometimes as pastor, you know why? I push us to I'll say things like this. Why? Because at the judgment seat, I don't want any of you to fall short. I don't want myself to fall short of what is a plain teaching of Scripture. Okay? So we have to concentrate on those people whom God will lead to us. The next point in verse 16 to 33 is a very long passage, but I will not go through the whole thing except for a few verses. Now you can actually go into your delegation. I think that's where it starts. Okay? Point number 4. Expect hardship. Expect hardship. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His instructions to His disciples to serve, embedded in that instructions to serve is to expect hardship. In other words, when we serve Christ, we cannot expect a smooth journey. This is the pathway of a genuine Christian. Okay? Let me just read perhaps some of the verses. Verse 16. I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So number one, expect difficulties from there. 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver up to the councils. Verse 21. Brother shall deliver up brother to death. And this of course has to do, interestingly, there are two insights into this. One, it refers to that particular time. The time of the Jewish people, the Pharisees were saying, anyone who follows this Jesus will be put out of the synagogue. And further on, anyone who follows Jesus will be put to death. That was what happened in the time of the Apostle Paul. And interestingly, Jesus told the disciples, look, you need to expect this. Let me ask you a question. Has that changed today? Has that changed today? When we follow Jesus, we can be, people may see us weird. We may be separated from certain people because we choose to follow Christ. Then as you go in verse 22, and he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Not a very good. can you imagine? Okay, Jairo, if you come and work, or Edward, you come and work for me. You got to work 26 hours a day. Okay? And you got to, you may be without pay for a couple of months, you know? And every time you try to tell other people what I want you to tell them, they may shout at you, and they may slam the face at you. They may even call the police on you. You still want a job? You see, it's not the job scope, it's who we are serving. Amen? It's not the job scope, it's who we are serving. This instruction was given by Jesus telling the disciples, if you do this, it's going to happen. Expect hardship. And then Jesus goes on to say, verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Christians, if you want to serve God, expect hardship. Are you willing to? For us to want to disciple someone else, we need to be willing to. The hardship is not brought upon ourselves. The hardship comes because of the work. Does it make sense? I don't believe it is. We are very holy if we try to suffer for Christ ourselves. But we know when we suffer because of the work of God, then that is acceptable to God. But Christians expect hardship. Why? Look at verse 24 and 25. Because the world's way is always contrary. The Lord's way is always contrary to worldly wisdom. Therefore, they will be hated of all men. I can tell you as Christians, if the Lord's instructions go against your thinking, we have a choice. And those who choose to stand on the Lord's side will be hated of all men. Even the Apostle Paul was hated by the Corinthians. Why? Because they hated what he said. But Paul's very clear. It's not what I say, it's what God says. Okay? But because the Lord's way was contrary to worldly wisdom, Jesus told them, you will be hated of all men. Blessed Baptist Church members, if you will do God's work, God's way, one of the things you need to put in your mind is that I need to expect hardship. I need to expect that people will not always listen. I need to expect that people, after you follow them up for 1 or 2 years, they may run away. I need to expect that I may feel that at the end of my service, Lord, what have I done? You know, a lot of Christians go through this. What's the point? It's a waste of my time. And I say this in the authority of God's word. Whatever you do for God in His name, with all your heart, genuinely, even though outwardly there is no result, God will say, well done. If I know God, that's the master I serve. And that's something that encourages us, you know. Because when Paul says, Paul was very discouraged. He was preaching to the Corinthian church and they didn't want to listen to him. He said, wash my hands off you, man. I don't want. And he was discouraged. You know, God came to him and said, fear not. I'm with you. Keep going. People may not listen. Isaiah, Jeremiah, you will preach to a people that will not listen to you. Were they successful? Well, in modern day terms, they are not. But you know what? They were successful because they were what? Faithful to what God said. And Christians, as we serve God, Jesus gave this instruction about expecting hardship. Why? The Lord's way will always be contrary to worldly wisdom. Always, always, always. And therefore, people will not always listen to you. But you know, as a Christian who wants to serve God, we need to take on this instruction of expecting the hardship. But then God exhorted us in verse 19 and 20. Okay, Matthew chapter 10. He says what? Fear not. For the Holy Spirit will be there to enable them. When you feel down, when you feel discouraged because of the work, if you serve, and what's the point, you know? Some of us have... We need to, no matter what happened to them, the Lord will remember them as they remember to be faithful in declaring Him. When we serve Christ, in you know, when you disciple someone, you're declaring Christ to that person. You're not being a friend only. Please understand this. Some of us would like the relationship, which is important to build the discipleship process. And that's a very important first part. But ultimately, as a discipler, your job is to preach Christ to that person. You have to lead that person to a place whereby that person will become more and more Christ-like. Okay? The Lord Jesus never let them... The next page. The Lord Jesus never let His disciples underestimate the power of the enemy. Many of us do. We underestimate the power of the devil. We think that we can stand against him. You know, Christian, in your own strength, you can never stand against Satan. Did you know that? Never. He's smarter, he's more powerful, and he has more demons under him than we have in our resources. Jesus never let his disciples underestimate the power of the enemy, nor the natural resistance to the message of the redeeming gospel. Alright? Jesus told them, you are not to look for trouble. You are to be as harmless as doves. The fact is that the people are still very unlikely to receive the disciples with favor. If you truly live for Jesus Christ, if you will not follow the world's way of compromise, if you will not follow the world's way of saying, everything actually is okay, lah, I'm okay lah. If you will follow strictly on truth, you will find that there will be a line drawn. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 38, the next point. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 38. Jesus says, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. I came to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's household shall be there of his own... Sorry, a man's foes. Of man's enemies shall be there of his own household. How many of us have experienced this? I have. That when you choose to stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have division. Christians, there is no middle ground. If you truly stand on Jesus' side, there is no middle ground. If you are still thinking that, cast that thought out, there is no middle ground to be a Christian. Because Jesus says here in Matthew 10:34, the gospel is a dividing gospel. Not because they want to divide, but because of the after effects of the gospel. Does it make sense? If you have ear to hear this, there is no... If you truly live for Jesus Christ, truly live for Jesus Christ, it will be dividing. That points to the decisive nature of the gospel. It's either you trust Christ or you don't. Either you obey Jesus or you don't. Christian is not a mistake when we sin. It's a sin. And we need to be very clear. Disobedience is sin. And as a Christian, when we live the truth of the Bible, God is not going to say, oh, you made a mistake. No. Why didn't you obey me? Don't you know that it's sin? You know, when I work with some of my own children, I said, I did wrong. When you actually tell them you sin against God, the weight of the conscience, maybe lying or whatever that happens, you realize we don't make mistakes, especially with regards to God's word. Oh, I'm just weak. No, you're not. Disobedient. We need to trust Christ. God, I can't do it. I need your help. That's when Jesus comes in to help us. When we, as a discipler, if you want to disciple someone, our life must be a pattern of obedience to Christ. Because otherwise we cannot teach. I was talking to someone, I think, someone about being faithful to the Lord's house. Okay, that was many, many years ago. And really asked that if you want to win someone to Christ, how can you teach this person to be loyal to the Lord's house when you're not? And get quiet. Isn't it true? We can't teach something we don't have. The Lord Jesus made it very clear that the gospel, the principles of the gospel, is a dividing gospel. There could be no compromise with sin, and therefore anyone who is refusing to follow God's way will surely be disturbed by the preaching. I say that again. There could be no compromise with sin, and therefore anyone who is refusing to follow God's way will surely be disturbed by the preaching. That was what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees look at Jesus who healed the sick and said, that guy is from the devil. Are they thinking? Yes, they are. They're thinking the wrong way. Because they're not refusing the act. They're refusing the person and the message in which they are bringing. This is therefore a revolutionary gospel and message. You know, everything that we preach. You know why some people will come and listen? Because of something new. But when they realize, hey, when I receive the message of God, it means I got to change my life. And that's when they take off. Or they enjoy the listening, but after a while, when they have to change parts of their life to be in line with God's holiness, that's when the rubber meets the road. Remember, Christian, even at this stage, as investor needs to move forward to be a discipling church, we need to be a people of obedience. There is no middle ground. And as we just study the scriptures for yourself, and you realize that the apostles stood on one side. We ought to obey God rather than men. And come what may, they expected hardship. They're in prison. Okay? Well, of course, God delivered them. But at the end, all the apostles died for Christ. But remember, the gospel is a dividing gospel. Next point, Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, as you go out to serve me, remember, I'm one with you. And this is very encouraging. You know, every time when the door slams in your face, I will tell the person that follow me, maybe whoever that's following me, you know what? They are not rejecting us, they're rejecting God. We're not just saying it. Is it true? Let's say if I tell my son to tell someone else to do something, I say, hey, maybe you tell my daughter, say, Papa asked you to throw the tissue. Okay, the message wasn't from that person, it was from me. So you reject the person's message. Oh, I don't care, I don't know, I'm checking. Like, Papa asked you to throw the tissue. He's not rejecting it, he's rejecting my instruction, right? And then I tell Papa, oh, okay. Why? Because the authority has to come. You see, we are messengers of Christ. We just tell what God tells us to do. You know what God affirms as go out, you expect all this, but you know what Jesus says, look, I'm one with you. When they reject you, they are rejecting me. So don't worry about it. Don't take it personally. Okay? What the Lord was advocating here was the disciples were going to be doing, what the disciples was going to be doing was no different in principle from what he himself is doing. He began by giving his power and authority to do the work and ended up assuring them that what they were doing was as if he was doing it himself. We are basically just extra hands and feet of Christ. Do you realize that? You're an extra hand. That if we are not there, the Lord's work is shortened. And this is something, as Jesus taught the disciples, he's teaching us today as well. Think of that identity with Christ. We are representatives. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. And ambassadors need to do their work. And finally, in Mark 6 and 7, we need to team them up. That's why we go 2x2. And that's why we need, in the company of many Christians, we can encourage one another. Okay? Now, in those 7 instructions, I'll just give them back to you quickly again. These are the instructions Jesus gave to them. He reaffirmed his purpose for their lives. As they go out preaching, you have to go to the more promising ones, do the work. As they do the work, they have to trust God to supply their needs. In point number four, they were to follow. If someone is willing for them to follow up, you follow up with them. If not, then move on to someone else. And point number five, expect hardship. Okay, in our serving of Christ, I remember the gospel we serve is a dividing gospel. And remember that even as we are rejected, don't take it personally because they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Christ. And remember, we need to team up for both companionship and encouragement. Christian, no man is an island. You cannot live the Christian life yourself. That's why God put us in the church. And when we forget that, and that's where we get discouraged very quickly. And that's what Satan wants. The conclusion here, at the end of the 2 years, these Christians, the disciples, were starting their own ministries. Okay, I just kind of remember, we are using the life of Christ and what Jesus did to the disciples, and then we'll apply it to ourselves, okay? To be disciples. This band of disciples were starting their own ministries, okay? There was no excuse for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to neglect His own work, okay? Even as Jesus was training the people, He also had His own ministry. Because in Matthew 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed hence to teach and to preach in the cities." In other words, as Jesus teach them, He is going to do the same things as well. Okay, any questions up to there? Okay, then we move on to the post-resurrection commands. After Jesus rose from the dead, His training is done. His mission is done. Redemption is done. Calvary is over. Now He is preparing in the 40 days to give the commandments to His disciples. He's not going to do any more work. He's going to tell them, reaffirm in them, give them the authority, and then He's going back. Okay, in Matthew, all the passages are there, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, Acts 1. That is the Great Commission. Okay, those are the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19, maybe just show one. Just go ye therefore. In verse 18, all authority or power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know, many churches don't teach that anymore, but that's in the scripture. It's a continuing, if you read the passage, Jesus is in one straight continuous thought. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. The word therefore is because of the authority already given. Go ye. That's why we baptize with authority. That's why when we preach, we know we have the authority. And the authority is vested in the fact that we stay with the Bible 100%. That's why Baptists are Bible believers only. We don't care what tradition says. We say what the Bible says. Alright? That's why. And young people, as you grow up, you may see friends from different churches who say, "No, that's too narrow." Point them straight back to the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Okay, that's what we need to do. And Jesus says to go. Question is, are we going? Our command is very explicit. It's not, you don't even have to guess. Jesus says go. You realize in all this, go ye. Therefore, in Mark 16, go ye into all the world. In Luke 24, and this gospel of remission of sins shall be preached in all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then in John 20, as Father has sent me, so send I you. And Acts chapter 1, ye shall be witnesses unto me. It's all going. Christian, are we going? Christians, don't keep the faith to ourselves. And don't do it only in a time that we are comfortable with. There is a price to pay for being a discipler. The disciples were to be human instruments announcing the good news. And the Holy Spirit was to be their empowerment. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. After that, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Sorry, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. All of us here as a believer have God's empowerment in our lives today. God has empowered the church as a whole to reach out already. The question is, are we involved? You know, the entire church was involved in the book of Acts. You know, I hope my heart is, and I hope every one of our hearts is, to be in line with the spirit of the New Testament. The entire New Testament church was involved in preaching the word. That's why it grew in 6 months from 120 to 3,000 to almost 50,000 in 6 months because of the willingness of everyone to allow the Holy Spirit to take their charge. Okay? Now, some personal reflection as we close. The Lord Jesus did not leave the work of evangelism to human thoughts and impression or convenience. It was a work to be done. I would echo what Jesus said in Matthew 9:36. The harvest is truly plenteous. Laborers are still few. still pitifully few. To the disciples, it was a definite command, impressed at the beginning of the call, clarified progressively throughout the ministry of Christ, and spelled out clearly for them at the end. For us, when we win someone to Christ, we have to teach them what God says. We have to also tell them, look, the Lord Jesus didn't just save us to leave us to sit. He saved us so that we will go to win someone else to Christ. It was clarified progressively throughout the ministry of Christ and spelled out clearly for them at the end. Christian disciples are sent men, sent out in the same work of world evangelism to which the Lord Jesus was sent and for which He gave His life. You know, the difference between us and the Lord is just this. Both us, the Lord and us, we are supposed to do His world event, telling someone about Christ. The only difference is Jesus Christ is the life. And we are here to give His life. And Christians, we need to realize, we need to really understand this. God has delegated work for us. I say that with all my heart. If the Bible is true, every one of us need to be out there tracking. I tell you, maybe, well, Brother Johnny, don't put so much pressure on us. But listen to this. There are fixed times that the church will go out. What about? Humans are like this. If we don't set time, we won't go. Think about that for a while. And I'm not saying my work. And I would say this, Brother Johnny, don't worry. I already said I can't go on Tuesday and Wednesdays, but you know, other times I am setting time to go. Fine, you know. Or you're actively reaching someone. Fine. But are we? I'm not insinuating, but you know, my heart as a pastor is, it's God's work. Is there no desire? And that's something that I want to lay down, because in this lesson, the delegation, I'm not, in my heart, it's no point teaching, because I think all of us know. But where is that heart? That we will put, well, Lord, I'm tired, but you know, I'll go for you. Because we're not doing that task for itself. Remember this, I was telling Edward, you're not going to get paid. The people probably spit at you, and you probably be whatever. Would you be still willing to take the job? But you know what? All the disciples say, yes, Lord, I'd rather obey you rather than man. It was because it's not the work that matters, it's the Savior they are serving. You know, that's the heart of Christian life. We will serve Christ irregardless of the things that are happening. You know, in this particular lesson, the delegation, you know, if I were to put, we need people who are willing to follow up others. That's a delegated work. I've preached that over the years. You know, up to, except for some, you know, where is our? Is the Lord impressing on us to follow up someone else? To really love them in Jesus Christ? Now, we may not be perfect in everything, but are we trying? Are we saying, Lord, I'm praying for 2 persons that I can work with this year? Christian disciples are sent men. Evangelism is not an option, but a heartbeat of all that we are called to be and to do. Heartbeat. It's the heartbeat of the church. When we stop evangelism, essentially, our heartbeat, when we're young, we're very active and we're running, our heart keeps beating, right? It gets stronger and stronger. But after a certain time, we get old and our bones starts to creak and other kind of don't exercise so much. Then our heart actually becomes weaker. And I think maybe that's the reason why a lot of Singaporeans, perhaps because of diet or salt, because of lack of exercise, or because, you know, I think they have this weekend sports whereby, you know, Monday to Friday we work, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday we cut chong, we all out to exercise, right? And get heart attack. Because the heart can't take it anymore. Why? Because the heart is weak. Is it possible spiritually our heart is getting weaker? That we are not able to move as fast in the Lord's will as we should. I just want to encourage us. Evangelism is not an option. The moment the heartbeat of evangelism slows down, the church slows down. Or we can have all. Satan doesn't care if we have a lot of fanciful programs, just as long as we don't reach people for Christ. You know why? We'll die. Many churches have become social clubs. I hope our church will not be. It is a commission of the church with this meaning to all that the church will do. That's why even our financial budget is only two things, evangelism and edification of the church. We need to be constantly going out. We need 5,000 tracts in order to stay the next few months before we go, because we're expanding probably 1,002 every month. Thank God for that. But you know what? We still need to keep on pushing. You know, Christians, if you're feeling a little bit on your heart, I pray that it's not just Raja on his word. I pray that God will work in our hearts. Let me just qualify. I know that there are many other things that you are doing. You know, I'm always very tempted to qualify, but sometimes, you know, God just says, go. Go. It's one and a half. I had a friend who said, no, Brother Johnny, I should have come to church on Sunday. This was in Australia. Okay? And I cannot remember. And I think his name is Chris, cannot remember. But he said, no, Raja, I should have come to church. You know what? For the 3 hours, I didn't go to church. My plan was to study, but I couldn't study for 3 hours. I should have been in church. But you know what? I think we all know this principle of doing what God wants us to do. You know, I constantly ask, why is it so hard for Singaporean Christians to be committed to the Lord? I want us to think through that. It's a commission of the church which gives meaning to all that the church will do. When we stop doing what God has delegated, we start to die a slow death in our heart for God. This lesson, hopefully we will understand this. You know, when if all of us are saying, Lord, one person there will follow up this year, our church will double. God's work will be advanced. You just give your whole heart to that person. When the church does this and is serious, then people will begin to take note, okay? So, but any questions as we close? And then, we cannot die a natural death. And I hope as pastor I'll be able to share with you, this is the work of the church. This is the work of the Lord. It's not even our work anymore. Christians, we need to say, Lord, here's my heart, take it. I want to encourage you. God will help us. God is never... You know, even as I say what I said, I hope it will be taken in the light of what we need to do as a local church. I'm very fearful that we'll go down a track that we will just, not happening, never mind. We need to, Lord, if this is your work, I'm part and parcel of your body, I'll put my hands to the plow. Okay? For those who know what I'm talking about, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, take it. And say, Lord, make the decision with Him. For those who are weaker enough and say, Johnny, there are many things I need to work through. And I encourage you, work through it with the Lord. Pray with Him. Say, Lord, I know this is your work. Lord, this is your teaching. But God, there's this thing that's stopping me. But God, if this is your work, then I need to make a choice. And that's where some of us are trapped in the situations we're in. Then ask God to liberate us from that situation, that we might be put back into His work. One thing, it was Bob Jones Sr. who said this, duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. I haven't really learned the full thrust of that, but I begin to understand a little bit of that. When we know what is our duty to the Lord, duty to our families, duty. And God says, look, I've given you 24 hours. That's more than sufficient. We need to prioritize and plan. Let us do the delegated work God has given to us. And let us be praying for one another, not be judgmental of people. I'm not here to say, I'll just not point fingers, okay? Our goal is to look out, Lord, how? How am I going to fit into the message you've given to us? I'm looking at that too. I'm looking to think, Lord, how are we supposed to do all this as a church for His glory? All right, let's pray. Lord, as we come before you humbly, as we look at the life of Christ, look at how the early disciples, Lord, in the early church, how strong they were in your work. See how we may so-called be in a different culture, different way of doing things, different industry, different principles and philosophies of the different culture. But yet, Lord, the human heart is still the same. Lord, we are still easily distracted. As Demas were, who loved this present evil world and left the apostolic band. And Lord, there were many others who out of fear didn't want to join the church. The book of Acts chapter 5. Many who saw what happened in the church and said, no, I want no part of that. Or like King Agrippa who resisted the call of the gospel and refused, Father, to follow you. Lord, we ask you for your grace, and even as the words have been spoken, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts. Oh God, we need a heart of obedience as a church to just do what you tell us to do, God, because otherwise, how are we supposed to disciple someone else? Father, we need your grace, even as we see how the Lord Jesus gave that instruction. Lord, you know, reaffirm your purpose in our life again, Lord. Reaffirm your purpose as a Christian, how we need to serve you. Help us to realize that as we serve you, Lord, there will be things that will be hard. But God, this is part and parcel of the Christian life. Yet all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for Him. Philippians 1:29. Lord, help us to realize as the apostles set the foundation for the church, they also gave us your instructions and your commandments. And God, it is our duty to follow them. God, we are not looking for trouble, Lord. But God, help us to realize as we will step out in faith to serve you, we will expect trouble. But God, help us to also understand, you affirm your oneness with us. That God, as we serve you, as we go through the trials, the fire, you are standing right there beside us. Oh God, we need your help. Both individually, as a family, and as a church. Because souls are out there, Lord, our own family without Christ. People that we go out without Christ. People, young Christians stump their need following up. God, we're not perfect, but God, we need your perfection in our life. God, give us grace. For those who may be struggling, I ask you, Lord, to give them the strength and the grace they need to see your plan once again. And help us, Lord, to be willing to be obedient Christians, doing the delegated work of your will, until you come. Help us, Lord, that if you were to come today, Father, we will be at least ready with our hearts, say, God, I wanted to do it, but you came. I pray for everyone. Oh Lord, you loved us so much. Help us to love one another according to your will. And help us to love the lost, because that is your will. And God, help us to prioritize our time that we might do your will. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we're looking forward, Lord, to answers to this prayer. Believe as a whole, as an ambassador, as an assembly, Lord, we desire to do your will alone. I know, Lord, there may be many things that people may be going through, and I pray that your grace may be upon us. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Help us not to worry. Help us to learn to trust in what you want us to do. And we'll thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.